Turn with me, please, to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Since Carol started it, I'm going to consider you 4 and 5 year olds this morning. Scripture many times uses the principle of sowing and reaping, or planting and harvesting, as an illustration of spiritual truth. In James chapter 4, the importance of faith and patience is illustrated by the example of a farmer. A farmer plants his seed and then, in faith, depends upon God to send the rain. And then with patience, waits for that crop to grow so that he can harvest his crops. Christ gave the parable of the sower, where he illustrates the condition of people's hearts as you sow seed. That seed sometimes falls on stony ground. And as you sow the word of God, sometimes it falls on a stony heart and it doesn't take root. Or sometimes as you plant seed, that seed will fall among the weeds and the thorns and the thistles. And likewise, sometimes as you sow the word of God, it lands upon a heart that is overcrowded with the cares of this world and gets choked out. But then sometimes as you plant seed, it falls on fertile ground and it takes root and it grows. And likewise, as you plant the word of God and sow the word of God, it'll often fall on a heart that is fertile, and the seed takes root and the word of God takes root and it grows in that heart. He uses this example many times. And in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10, he uses this example of sowing and reaping as an example of a spiritual truth. Notice verse 7 of Galatians 6, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." We've been dealing with the lies that we tell ourselves, and the one we want to look at this morning, taken from Galatians chapter 6, the lie, "I will not reap what I sow." There is certainly a law of nature. If you plant corn, you reap corn. You don't plant a kernel of corn and then get wheat. What you sow, you reap. And as an example of that, Paul here says in our spiritual lives, we will reap what we sow. And to tell ourselves otherwise is a lie, and it is to mock God. This can be taken in two ways. It can be taken kind of in that one side of a negative, I will not reap what I sow when I sow sin, I'll not reap corruption. Or we may take it the other way and say, when I sow righteousness, I'll not reap a blessing. This morning we're going to look at that first one. I can sow sin and not reap negative consequences. Next week, we'll look at the other side of it, the lie sometimes we tell ourselves, well, if I sow righteousness, there will be no blessing from it. This morning, we're looking at that first thought. I can sow my sin and not reap consequences. Sometimes we speak of teenagers sowing their wild oats. Sometimes we almost make that statement as if that's kind of just a rite of passage and it's okay. It's not okay. We will reap what we sow. Let's bow in prayer. Father, guide us this morning as we open your word. We understand that we can only be taught by your Spirit, for these things are spiritually discerned. Help us, Father, not to accept the lie of Satan, but to believe your truth, we reap what we sow. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This verse begins, "Be not deceived," in verse 7. Be not deceived. It is a command. And it's actually in the verb tense that's used here, it's a command to stop something that's already in progress. And so literally, it is a command, stop being led astray. The Galatians, the churches of Galatia, were being led astray from believing that sin has consequences. They were being led astray by a group known as the Gnostics. And Paul writes this letter to the Galatian churches against the teaching of the Gnostics. And the Gnostics taught that you could sow to the flesh, and it wouldn't hurt you at all. It wouldn't be a problem. They believed that the body and the flesh had nothing to do with the spiritual life. And so therefore, go ahead and sow to the flesh. Go ahead and walk in the flesh. You can sin all you want. It's not going to affect you spiritually at all. And the churches in Galatia were being led astray by that false doctrine. And so Paul draws their attention to that and says, stop being led astray. You will reap what you sow. And then he says, God is not mocked. The word mock here actually comes from the word nose. And it's the idea of looking down your nose at somebody or turning your nose up at somebody. And so it is the idea to mock God is to turn up your nose at him. It is to despise God and to treat him with contempt. When we believe that we will not reap what we sow, we are in reality despising God. We are looking down on God because he has said otherwise. And so we are showing him contempt if we believe that we can reap to the flesh and not, or sow to the flesh and not reap corruption. To believe and live as if we can sow to the flesh and not reap corruption is to treat God with contempt. But in the end, God's word will be proven true. God's not going to be mocked. God's not going to be put to shame. He's not going to be embarrassed somehow and say, oh my goodness, Don went ahead and sinned and he got away with it and I can't do anything about it. That's not going to happen. He's not going to be mocked. He's not going to be embarrassed. He's not going to be put to shame. His word will be proven true. His promise that we will reap what we sow will come about. He's not going to be mocked. It's a rule of nature. You reap what you sow. It's a rule of nature because God has established that rule. It's God's law in nature. You reap what you sow. You sow corn, you reap corn. And it's his law in the spiritual realm as well. You sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. Makes it very clear in verse 8, "For he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Now, verse 8 is really a contrast between the unbeliever who surrenders himself to the flesh, rejects Christ as Savior, and he reaps corruption. Or perhaps your translation says destruction. It's a word that's used in Scripture to refer to the eternal destiny of the unsaved. And we know from Revelation that the eternal destiny of the unsaved is eternity apart from God in the lake of fire. And he's referring to that here in verse 8. The one who chooses to surrender himself to the flesh and to sow to the flesh and rejects Christ as Savior, he will reap corruption. He will reap the eternal destiny apart from God in the lake of fire. But the one who sows to the Spirit, the one who chooses to surrender the Spirit of God in their life and accepts Christ as Savior, he will reap eternal life. And so the contrast in verse 8 is between the unbeliever sowing to the flesh and the believer sowing to the Spirit. The unbeliever who rejects Christ and the believer who accepts Christ. And the consequences of rejecting Christ is corruption or destruction, not annihilation, but eternity in the lake of fire, whereas the one who accepts Christ as Savior and sows to the Spirit, he will have eternal life. That's the contrast in verse 8. And so we need to understand there are many who lie to themselves today and believe that they can just go on doing what they want to do, walking in the flesh, sowing to the flesh, and they're still going to make it to heaven. They really don't have to surrender themselves to the Spirit of God. They really don't have to surrender to God at all. They really don't have to accept Christ as Savior. That's not the way to heaven. They can just go about doing what they want to do in one way or another. They're going to make it to heaven. And Paul says, it's not going to happen. You'll reap what you sow. If you sow to the flesh and reject Christ as your Savior, you will reap destruction. But then he moves on to verses 9 and 10, and now he's talking to believers. Notice he changes from he that sows to the flesh and he that sows to the Spirit. In verse 9 he says, let us not be weary in well-doing. So now he switches to the believer alone. He starts talking now as a believer. This principle is still true. As a believer, we're going to reap what we sow in the sense of doing good, as he talks about here. As we do good, don't faint. You will reap in due time. So he talks about our works and our actions as believers. And the principle holds true. If you continue to do good works, you will reap what you sow. And the opposite would be true as well. If you continue as a believer to sow to the flesh and to walk in the flesh. And he speaks of that over in chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. He starts talking about walking in the flesh and the works of the flesh. And as believers, we can make that choice to walk in the flesh. But as a believer, making that choice to walk in the flesh, we don't lose our salvation, but we will reap the consequences of walking in the flesh. There will be consequences to that sin. We will reap what we sow. And if we as a believer try to convince ourselves that I can sin and I can get away with it, so to speak, I can sin and I'm not going to have any negative consequences about it, we are mocking God. We are literally turning up our nose at Him, looking down at Him, and despising Him if we think that we can just walk in the flesh and have no consequences to it. Reaping what one sows is God's law in nature, as well as in the spiritual realm, and it cannot be changed no matter how hard we may try. We may think that we'll be the exception. I can go ahead and sow to the flesh as a believer, but I'll be the exception. I won't have those consequences. That somehow God's just going to make me the exception. We're mocking God when we think that. We're despising Him when we think that. Somehow we think that God's going to change the law of nature just for me. It's not going to happen. It's a law of nature. You plant corn, you reap corn. And it's true in the spiritual realm. You sow to the flesh, you will reap accordingly. It's just how God has established His law. And we can choose what we sow, but we cannot choose what we reap. That is determined by God alone. And I've said that many times. I can choose whether I'm going to walk in the flesh or walk in the Spirit. That's my choice. But the consequences, I cannot choose. That's in God's hands. And He's already told us the results. He already has told us the consequences. Walk in the flesh, and you will reap accordingly. And so it's not a secret. It's not like He's kept that hidden from us. He's told us very plainly. We need to believe that truth and not Satan's lie. We can be deceived into thinking that there will be no consequences to our sin, but in the end, God will not be mocked. The consequences will come. Don't believe the lie of Satan. And when you think about the lie of Satan, this lie, I will not reap what I sow, that lie goes all the way back to the first sin, the first deception. Back in Genesis chapter 3, this lie of Galatians 6 has been around. Adam and Eve, in their first sin, remember, God told Adam and Eve, they could eat of all of the trees of the garden freely, except the one tree, that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of that tree. The day you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. That was God's word. What did Satan come along and say? Satan came along and said, you will not surely die. You will not reap what you sow. You can go ahead and eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and there will be no negative consequences to it. God really doesn't know what he's talking about. Satan mocked God, and he deceived Eve. 1 Timothy tells us that Eve was deceived. Adam was not. Adam ate of that fruit with his eyes wide open. But Eve was deceived. Satan deceived Eve into believing this lie. You won't reap what you sow. You'll not surely die. You'll be able to eat of this tree. And in fact, as you read in Genesis chapter 3, it says they saw that the tree was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes and desired to make one wise. Not only would they not reap negative consequences, not only would they not reap what God said they would reap, you would die. Not only would that not happen, but you would actually reap goodness and pleasantness and wisdom. But what happened? They ate of the tree, and God's word was fulfilled. God will not be mocked. Satan deceived Eve into believing that God would not bring the judgment which he said he would bring. Adam and Eve mocked God when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, believing they would reap goodness, pleasantness, and wisdom, rather than death, as God had said. God's word was fulfilled. God was not mocked. You know, many times, man is easily deceived into believing that they'll not reap what they sow because the reaping doesn't always happen immediately. You know, just like a farmer, he plants that corn, he can't go out the very next day and reap that corn. It takes time, doesn't it? There's a period of time between the sowing and the reaping, and that's true often in our lives. We can sow to the flesh, and for a while we can get away with it. There's no negative consequences. Everything's going fine. In fact, sometimes things are going just great as far as we're concerned. Sometimes sowing to that flesh is bringing great happiness to us. But God has promised, in due time we will reap. But that delay sometimes deceives us into thinking, I won't reap what I sow. There's no consequences to my sin. In fact, in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11, Solomon says this, because sentence against an evil work is not executed immediately, therefore the hearts of men are fully set in them to do evil. Because God in his grace does not bring the reaping immediately, we sometimes think that there will be no reaping. But in reality, God in his grace is waiting patiently for us to repent of our sin and to acknowledge our sin. But in due season, without repentance, there will be the time of harvest. We will reap what we sow. God will be vindicated. His word will be proven true. We will reap what we sow. Many of you have no doubt heard Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23. Be sure your sin will find you out. That's in the context of the children of Israel about ready to cross over the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And there were 2.5 tribes. There was the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh, who wanted to stay on the east side of the Jordan River. They had conquered some land there, and they saw that land, and they thought, boy, this is a good land for us. And so they wanted to stay on the east side of the Jordan River. And so Moses said, well, here's what we'll do. This will be your inheritance on the east side of the Jordan River. As long as you cross over the Jordan River with the other Israelites, the other tribes, and help them in defeating the enemy so that they can take possession of their inheritance. So he said, you can keep your inheritance on the east side of the Jordan as long as you cross over the Jordan with us and help us fight the battle so that we can take our inheritance. And those 2.5 tribes agreed to that. They said, we will go over with you to do battle. But then Moses warned them, if you don't do as you said you would do, be sure your sin will find you out. You'll be sinning against Jehovah, Moses said, and be sure your sin will find you out. In other words, you can't hide from your sin or its consequences. It will find you. You will reap what you sow. And that was Moses' warning to those 2.5 tribes of Israel. Your sin and its consequences will find you. Some may say, well, this all sounds kind of harsh. God's a God of love and a God of grace, and you're talking about reaping what we sow and reaping corruption, and that sounds kind of harsh. That's not our God. He's a God of love. He's a God of grace. And yes, He is a God of love. He's a God of grace. That's why we don't reap immediately. In His love and in His grace, He is patient and waits for our repentance. But He's also a holy God. He's a righteous God. He's a just God. In His holiness, He cannot look upon sin. In His righteousness, He cannot lie. And He has told us we will reap what we sow. He's not going to go back on His word. No matter how much you may try, He's not going to go back on His word. A farmer doesn't go out and plant corn and then go inside and hope and wish that wheat comes up. He can hope and wish all he wants. Wheat's not going to come up if you planted corn. And we can sow to the flesh, and we can walk in the flesh, and then we can hope and we can just be wishful that we won't reap what we sow, but all the wishing and all the hope in the world isn't going to change it. God will be true to His word. He cannot lie. In fact, I won't have you turn to it, but Hebrews chapter 12 just puts a little different twist on this. If we think that this sounds harsh and unloving and ungracious, you go to Hebrews chapter 12, and what we find is that the fact that we as believers reap what we sow is actually out of God's love. Because in Hebrews chapter 12, it says that God disciplines whom He loves. He disciplines us. He causes us to reap what we sow because He does love us. Not because He doesn't love us, but because He does love us. Some may say that the whole concept of reaping the consequences of sin seems harsh and unloving, and that's not our God, and yet Hebrews 12:6 gives us a different view. God brings consequences of sin to His children as discipline because He does love us. Again, you don't need to turn to it, but let me just read from Hebrews chapter 12. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? He's our Father. And out of His love for us, He will discipline us. Out of His love for us, He will indeed bring the consequences of sin. Why? Because He wants us to change our actions. He doesn't want us to go on living in our sin. He loves us too much to allow us to go on living in our sin. He knows what's best for us, and He knows that that sin is not what's best for us. And He wants us to change those actions because that's what's best for us. And out of His love for us, He brings the consequences of sin. He disciplines us as His children because He wants us to have the best. And sowing to the flesh is not the best. In fact, it goes on in these verses, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh who corrects us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them who are exercised by it. Notice it, the results that he desires is holiness and peace and righteousness, because he knows that's what's best for us. And so when we're sowing to the flesh, he's going to bring about his discipline. We are going to reap what we sow, because he wants us to be holy. He wants us to have peace. He wants us to be righteous. He knows that's what's best for us. He loves us too much to allow us to continue on in our sin. But then, in Hebrews 12 and verse 8, if you are without chastisement, of which all are partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. If we don't experience the discipline of God, then he plainly states we're not one of his children. If you choose to walk in the flesh, you choose to live in your own way and in your own sin, and there's no discipline that comes into your life, there is no reaping, you're not one of his children. Again, that may sound harsh, but that's what the word says. If you are without discipline, you are illegitimate. You may say that you're a child of God, but if there's never any discipline in your life, you're illegitimate. You're not one of his sons. And it's just a challenge to you this morning to examine your own heart. Are you continuing in your sin? Are you just living for the flesh and nothing's happening? There's no discipline? We need to examine our hearts. Am I really of the faith? Am I really one of his children? I read to you last week, and I'm going to read to you again this week from Psalm 32. David, after his sin with Bathsheba, before he repented, says this: when I kept silence, my bones became old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality is turned into the drought of summer. David was miserable while he was living in his sin. David was miserable while he was sowing to the flesh. David was miserable while he was walking in the flesh, because God's hand was heavy upon him. He was groaning all day long. The vitality of life was dried up like the drought of summer. If you're sowing to the flesh, if you're walking the flesh, if you are living in sin and you know it, and you're not experiencing the heavy hand of God upon you, you're not experiencing the vitality of life just drying up out of you, you're not groaning all the day long, then are you really his child? Do you really know him as Savior? See, a child of God is going to reap what he sows as discipline at the hand of God, because he loves you. But if there's no discipline, you need to examine to see if you really are of the faith. If we do not experience the discipline of God, then we are not his child. I can't see your heart. I'm just saying what the Word of God says. You need to examine your heart. God can see your heart. Are you one of his children? We need to heed the command of Galatians 6:7, stop being led astray. The lie that we will not reap what we sow is the oldest lie of Satan. He told Adam and Eve, you will not surely die, when God said just the opposite. And God was not mocked. We cannot mock God. His word will be proven true. We will reap what we sow. Don't accept the lie of Satan. Don't make a choice to walk in the flesh thinking that there will be no consequences. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you so much that you do love us. You love us too much to allow us to just continue to walk in the flesh. You love us too much, just allow us to continue to sow to the flesh. And I pray that each one of us would examine our hearts this morning. Am I really your child? And Father, I pray that we would not accept this oldest lie of Satan. This lie that mocks you and your word. In Jesus' name we pray. I can be of any help to you. If you are confused by anything I've said this morning, please seek me out. We're here to help. We're here to take you to God's Word, to show you the truth of God's Word. Give us a call. Seek us out. See us before you leave this morning. We're here to help. Shall we stand? Father, we thank you so much for our time together this morning and for your word and its truths. Help us to be able to distinguish between your truth and the lies of this world. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Father, that you love us enough to discipline us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. May God bless you.